Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining me on the line right now is Dr. Daniel Israel. He's a GP in private practice. And, you know, I just wanted to find out the case from a medical perspective of, you know, having people in your sukkah or entertaining. This has been a very challenging time. Good morning, Daniel. How are you?
Morning, Kathy. Nice to be with you again.
Lovely to speak to you. Can I ask you to please speak up if possible? Just a little bit soft. All right. So as you know, you and I are on the opposite sides of the fence on this. I'm saying no, no, no. You've got to stay home. You've got to wear a mask. If your domestic worker is coming in, stop her from coming in. You know, you have no idea, especially if she's taking public transport. And you're saying, no, 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 no. You've got a different opinion. Tell us your opinion, Daniel.
Okay, so, Kathy, I don't often start off these conversations with a challenge, but I probably am going to today because driving into work, I heard the way you depicted my side of the fence. I don't think that's correct. I do not think that people should be entertaining at the moment. And let me say that categorically at the beginning.
Okay.
I know it makes for good media balance to have a debate, and I actually suggested that we debate, but I think it's important to unpack the issues and why our community is getting different
messages.
Maybe varied levels of messages, yeah, from different leadership. So that's number one. Another thing that I would like to start off with is by saying that I think that there's an important role for doctors to play in terms of a doctor's role is to help people where they are at the moment in terms of first encouraging the right behavior, and secondly, if they're doing the wrong behavior, in, you know, helping them to change and helping them to work in the confines of where they're at, to do things safely and in the best way they can. If you have a smoker who comes into your rooms who's been smoking for 20 years, it's 3 packs a day, and you say, when you walk out of here today, you're not going to be having another cigarette, correct? He will continue to smoke, and he will walk out your rooms and close the door, and that it will be water off a duck's back. So it's important as the medical professionals that we understand where our community is and that we say to them that the best case scenario is X, but if you're going to do Y, this is how you do it.
Okay.
So, and that's important to see it in that light.
All right. So let's use your smoking example. Okay. So with a smoker, there is a chemical dependency in the body. As a doctor, you, when he was walking out, you'd also say, here's, you know, a prescription for this anti-smoking medication. You wouldn't just send him out the door and say, don't do it.
Exactly. So.
Okay. So how does that apply to where we are now?
Context with where we are. You brought up the entertaining. So let's talk about that first. So firstly, as I've been saying on the COVID reports, COVID not gone. People should have no misunderstanding or illusion that COVID is gone or that it's not there. I mean, you saw Chai FM was affected by it this week, and there's an ongoing, unfortunate, we had 145 deaths yesterday, and if we behave badly and we're in contact with one another and we're not taking precautions, my feeling is that COVID will definitely pick up again. So you are correct in terms of your approach and your sentiments. The point though is that, and I've said this throughout this pandemic, is that we need to have an approach where we weigh up each individual case. For example, I had a woman in my practice a couple of months ago who thrives off the ability to her relationship with her grandchildren. Mm. She can't get through an average week or month or even week, I'd say, without that role that she plays in their lives. And it's not just family or of grandchildren. And she's been depressed before, and that has helped her through it. Now, a woman like that at this stage in the pandemic in level 5, I would not say cannot see her grandchildren categorically forever, you know, until COVID is gone, because COVID will not be gone completely until we have a vaccine. And for example, do you know that smallpox is the only virus that's actually been obliterated? In other words, all these viruses continue until we have a really good vaccine out there, which can take months and months. We might sit another year like this. I can't tell a patient like that not to see your grandchildren. So
okay, so what would you tell her? What would you tell that patient?
I would tell her that she should visit her grandchildren and play a role in their lives, but we need to make sure that she's not at risk being older. So that's when we get into the technicalities of everybody needs to be asymptomatic, temperature, you've heard all this many times, temperature control, good ventilation, wearing a mask, if there's going to be eating or drinking, how to prevent spread. Now, you might turn around and say to me, but that's ridiculous. People are dying. You must tell her not to come at all. But if
that's
you
exactly
lock down
what I would
society,
say.
Inevitably, like, and ongoingly, you're going to land up in a situation where, first of all, if people actually obey those rules, companies eventually will fold, business meetings won't happen, properties won't be sold, etc. And secondly, you're going to land up in a situation where, and this is what I'm seeing in my practice, and I'd like to know your thoughts about this, but people, and I'm seeing this around Glen Hazel in the Jewish areas, people are like, the doctors say X, but just, don't tell him I'm doing this. And then they completely swing to the other extreme, and it's big crowds at their houses and in their sukkahs, no masks whatsoever, no social distancing. So my feeling is that we should be telling people not to mix as a rule. And if you've weighed up your risk benefit analysis, so to speak, and that you, and in a situation you need to have a limited number of family members of or another friend who needs the support, then these are the guidelines in which you do it. What do you feel about that?
I think that there needs to be one message, and the message is don't do it. I think the minute you give concessions, people ignore the first part of that statement, which is don't do it. If the rule is, and I think that this is why level 5 was so successful, is that we had the same message coming from both government and communal leadership. Everybody's message was don't do it, and so nobody did it. The people who did do it got COVID. I think that what's happening now is that we're in a place in South Africa where we're the only country in the world that lifted lockdown restrictions while our infection and death rate was still on the increase. The only country in the world. And that was something that wasn't done to protect the people. It was done to protect business. Concessions about movie theaters and restaurants. I mean, how do you eat in a restaurant? You walk through Norwood Mall and look at the restaurants and you see people sitting there and the tables are not 3 meters apart or 2 meters apart and people have their masks off because you can't eat with a mask on. And you can't eat in silence.
I couldn't agree with you more. So I think it's absolutely important to make a differentiation between necessity and nicety, so to speak. And I mean, obviously I have no deeper insight to government, but I believe there should be bigger grants and system, support systems for restaurants, movies, those type of industries, because those things should not be open in my mind at the moment for public to go there. But I do believe that if you put down a level 5 approach indefinitely, you'd have no schools open, mm-hmm. no schools open, mm-hmm. No public places open. And that, from a pure biological perspective, is absolutely wonderful. I can think of nothing better. But from when you say looking after people, one has to look after people's minds and their lives as well. Now, the important thing here is to watch the indicators. And as soon as cases, seem to be increasing, it has to be continually monitored very carefully, which we can talk about. But I think that the concepts of what you're saying are correct, but you have to realize that this might go on for another 18 months.
Well,
lockdown 5 for 18 months?
But the truth is that it would probably be even longer because okay, so here's how I see the situation, right? From what I understand about viruses is that a virus needs a host, right? So as long as there are people infecting other people, the virus will always be with us because it has a host. The only way to stop that is to have people stay at home and not infect other people. That's the only way to stop it. What is infecting other people are people who are taking advantage of concessions and they're not wearing masks because human nature is human nature. I mean, that's how I see it. And that's kind of the bigger picture of where I'm coming from.
And that is absolutely correct. The problem with that approach is that you need the entire country or larger community to do that. So
exactly.
if the sad thing in COVID-19 is that if everybody stayed home, if they were able to for 2 weeks, every single person,
yes.
COVID would not be able to continue.
Exactly.
Because you wouldn't have that. But the reality is that if you go and drive down Louis Botha or call it drive, although now you will see many people walking without masks, and not from our community. So, you know, by our community being extra vigilant in terms of over getting rid of the virus as a whole, it really is like, you know, trying to.
I understand. We can't do it isolated. Absolutely. I agree with you. But can you imagine if the entire country for two weeks, every single person stayed at home? 3 weeks from now, there would be not one case of COVID. And we have that
Absolutely.
Choice, but that is not a choice that we are hearing from leadership, which brings me to the point where I actually think that leadership has shown themselves to be obsolete, redundant, and completely spineless. Because you're not looking out for the people. And that's the job of a leader.
Leadership in our country or in our community?
Both. Both.
You see, I think that leadership in our community is very much guarded by what's going on in our country as a whole. So as I was saying, it's hard to lead
but
in isolation.
But nobody's looking at the long-term solution. I mean, if we had to have a two-week period where every single person in South Africa stayed at home, nobody had domestics going, you know, coming in. There was no public transport. There was nothing. For 2 weeks, we could eradicate this virus because that's how long the incubation period is. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Theoretically, absolutely. But if you look at level 5, we had one of the strictest lockdowns in the world, if not the strictest.
Right.
And I don't know whether this country is capable of achieving a stricter lockdown than that. And that was for longer than 2 weeks, and we still weren't able to eradicate the virus. So theoretically, it's right, but practically, I don't know that that's achievable.
Yeah. All right. Wearing a mask, somebody signing in, weighing in, saying wearing a mask is one essential thing. Not being able to work and earn a living is another. You know what? I agree. And one of the issues with level 5 lockdown is that the government stopped people who could work online from working online. And I think that was a big mistake. Most companies have been able to transcend that. I mean, even I went to go collect some fish at Doug Fish the other day, and you know, they've got like an online business. The Colel Bookshop have got an online business. They've all moved online so that people can still get what they want and what they need online, which is interesting. All right. There's a question that's coming through from you, Daniel, from Unsigned. It says, Kathy, please ask about going to gym classes. I'm 65.
I think that the concept of gym is very difficult, to be honest. When one looks at each of these situations, you have to apply the basic principles. And I'm always going on about the basic principles. It's ventilation, lack of direct contact, mask wearing, and time of exposure. Now, in a gym, if you're sitting in an open gym where there's lots of air, people are wearing masks, meters away from each other, and for a limited time, then it's fine. But in the common gym context, that's not really the case. And unless those controls are really, really strictly employed, I personally am a little bit wary about it. We have, as a family, have not gone back to gym. That's not evidence based, but that's what my feeling is.
Yeah, I saw reports about air conditioners actually being spreaders of the virus. So
there has been reports.
You know, and most gyms have. Daniel Israel, Dr. Daniel Israel, thank you so much. It won't be the last time
thank
we catch,
so
but we'll catch you this afternoon.
Hopefully
find
the balance, but yes, we'll catch you this afternoon. But the important point to drive home is that I'm on your side that we need ideally nothing unnecessary. But if my feeling, this is my close, is that if you weigh something up, you weigh a social interaction up and feel as though it's something that's necessary in your life, that's when it's important to engage with your doctor, whoever advises you, to know how best to do it in a safe way so that there's no risk in it. And that's what I've been pushing a lot.
Thank you very much. Stay safe.
God bless. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.